I welcome you back today to our series of messages from the book of Acts. I have changed the topic of my message today to baptism. I was planning to preach something different this week, but after kids camp and after some things I heard from teen camp, I felt that I wanted to talk about baptism and to draw your attention to a story and talk about why baptism is so important to us as Christians and why it's important that every believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, who has asked Him to forgive them of their sins, be baptized. And so today we're going to talk again from the book of Acts. The book of Acts gives us a great picture of the beginning of the church, in some ways an explosion that took place of the spread of the gospel in those early days, and some of the stories, some of the people, some of the events, some of the dynamics and the forces that brought about such a rapid spread of Christianity in the first century. We've talked about the importance of the Holy Spirit and how on the day of Pentecost, God poured out a new time, a new day, a new era of the Holy Spirit, the importance of the Holy Spirit. And we talked about how important the Holy Spirit is in the life of the church today. The Holy Spirit is so important to your life as a Christian. If you desire to be a Christian, you really mean it in your heart. If you want to follow God's will for your life, then the Holy Spirit is so important for you to be connected to. The Holy Spirit, God gives as His gift, the third person of the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And that Holy Spirit, God sent to us to help us, to teach us, to guide us, to train us, to come alongside us. The Holy Spirit is so important to what you believe as a Christian. All throughout the book of Acts, we have glimpses of the importance and the meaning of the Holy Spirit. We've talked about how important the Holy Spirit was in the beginning of the church, and also how important the Holy Spirit is in the church today. Well, I also want to talk this morning, or I want to kind of turn our attention to another term today, and then especially to baptism. And I want to say this morning, something else that's important to your faith is that you understand that the Christian life is a journey. It's a process. It is an experience that God wants to work with you and in you and through you and grow you, and so that you will become all that God wants you to be. Some people have the idea that when you become a Christian, it's like, I make a decision and then I'm there. The truth is, walking with God as a Christian is a growing process that takes step after step after time, a heart that is yielded and listening and saying, God, whatever you say to me today, I'm gonna hear you, I'm gonna respond to it, and I'm gonna walk with you. I think of it as a journey of walking. You know, when you talk about going on a journey, you go in the car, or you ride a train, or maybe you go in a plane and go somewhere, you go somewhere far away. Well, the Christian life is headed in a direction far away. It's headed toward the wonder of who God is. It's headed toward heaven, but it's also headed toward this relationship with a holy, infinite, infinite God, loving God, who wants a relationship with you. And so if you're here today and you say, yes, I want to be a Christian, I want to remind you how important the journey is. There's a lot of parts of the journey. There's different elements of the journey. Being a Christian is not just a one-time decision, a one-time step. Those big decisions are important, and those steps are absolutely important in your life, but it's a long journey. The Christian life is a journey. In thinking about the journey, what do we say is important to the journey as a Christian? Number one, being a Christian is embracing who Jesus is. Listening to who Jesus is and what He said. He had amazing insight. And when you slow down enough to open your Bible and you read the words of Jesus, you will find a wisdom and a discernment that is beyond any other teaching in the world. His insight into humanity, His insight into eternity, His insight into human behavior is incredible. His teaching, His words. Then you have His miracles. You have His relationships. You have His heart, His mission to come from God the Father and to take on the flesh of a man and to live a holy life without sin and willingly go to a cross that represented all of the sin of the world put on Him. his mission. To be a Christian is to embrace who Jesus is, to embrace his life, to say, I want to be with him in relationship, living, ongoing. Jesus is not dead. Jesus is the right hand of the Father today, praying for the church. He wants a relationship with you. Being on the journey also gives a purpose to your life. It gives you purpose. God has a purpose for you. You may wonder, how do I fit in? And does God even know? Does God even know about me? The truth is, God has a purpose for your life. He has a plan. He wants you to follow. I don't mean that every decision of your life, God says, you do this, you do that, you do this. I'm talking about God's permissive will in your life. There are things that are outside of God's will for your life. Pride is outside of God's will for your life. Sin is outside of God's will for your life. Disobeying what He shows you through His Holy Spirit is outside of God's plan for your life. But there's a whole lot of things that God says, I give you life. I give you 20, 30, 50, 80 or less years or more. I give you a life to live, and to live according to His will and His purposes is a great gift. Don't take for granted the gift of life, and don't take for granted the gift of spiritual life with God. He has a purpose for you. He has a plan for you. Finding and following that purpose is a part of the journey with God, knowing I'm going with God on a journey. Another word that comes to my mind is the word growing. How important your growth is in your faith, that you don't stagnate, that you don't stay where you're at, that you don't have this attitude that I really don't need to learn, I don't need to be hungry, I don't need to search out God. The truth is God wants you to be growing day by day, week by week, month by month. It's not always easy to define that or to measure that, but it really, it's a matter of the heart. Do you want to be like Jesus or not? Do you want to get closer to God or do you really just want your own thing? Growth is so important. Being desirous of being closer to God, always wanting to hear from Him and following Him is so important. Having a teachable heart. If you want to be on a journey with God, to have a heart that's teachable, to have a heart that says, God, I am willing to listen. I am willing to let you confront the things in my heart and my life that need to be changed. I mean, all of us know, probably all of us know, I hope all of us know that there's things in our lives that maybe aren't just what they should be yet. Some are bigger than others. Some have done more damage in the past than others. But we know there's things in there. Having a teachable heart says, God, I give it all to you. Being sanctified says, I give you every decision in my life. I ask you to take me and form me and shape me. The picture that comes to mind is the potter's wheel. That beautiful picture from Jeremiah and quoted elsewhere where the potter takes the clay and he puts it on that old wheel that would have been pumped or turned slowly, and that clay is there, and then the potter comes and puts his hand down into the clay and the water and begins to shape it and form it and get the bubbles out and the impurities. That's the picture of what God wants to do in your life as a Christian. It's a journey. Don't think that it's a one-time thing. Don't think that because you're 44, you've arrived. Or you're 18 and you've arrived. Or you're 91 and you've arrived. It's always about being that clay in the potter's hands. When you stop being the clay in the potter's hands and you, it's like you get off the ship, you get off the boat, you get off the plane, you get off the plan that God has for your life. Being teachable is so important. Then also today, especially as we move toward baptism, embracing the body of Christ. Part of the journey as a Christian is to value and understand how important the body of Jesus is. How important it was to Him. How important it was on the night that He was arrested when He took the bread and He broke it and He gave it to His disciples and said, take and eat, for this is my body broken for you. How Jesus was talking about two things there. He was talking about His own death and His broken body, and somehow in a way that is a mystery to us in the New Testament church, He envisioned the body as being every person coming together in unity and working together and valuing each other and worshiping together and being a part of the body and valuing how important community is. Community is important to your journey. If you're an isolated Christian who has no interest in other people, your journey is not toward the heart of God, because that's the heart of God, community, the body. And this morning, our focus is on the importance of Christian baptism. Baptism was very important in the early church. Baptism is very important in the book of Acts. If you just read through the book of Acts, a couple of months ago, I challenged you, 28 days, 28 chapters in Acts. And that seems like that was a year ago to me, that we encourage you to read the book of Acts. But you know how many times the book of Acts refers to baptism? Over and over and over again, how important baptism was to the early church. I mean, you're talking about people, too, who would be persecuted because of their baptism. But it was important. It was a symbol that God gave to the early church. Jesus talked about baptism, and it has become a symbol of entry into this body of Christ for 2,000 years. Baptism, with its many practices and forms and different denominations and groups, have some different practices about baptism, but baptism is that ongoing, or that initial sacrament of the Christian church as we enter into the body of Christ and we make a promise to God and a promise to the community. There's a lot of words that people use for it. One of them that I've used, it's an identifier of who you are, your identity in Jesus. But in every country, in every century, in every language, in every culture is this symbol of the Christian faith that has taken root and is a part of who we are as Christian people. Baptism is important. Jesus said it in the Great Commission. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. You realize this is just about the last thing Jesus said in the Gospel of Matthew. Go, find people, tell them the gospel, baptize them. Why? Because baptism was a step in that relationship to God. And in the early church, you have Peter declaring on the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2, verse 38. Peter replied, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sins." He was responding to the question after he had preached and talked about who Jesus was. And they said, "Well, what do we do? What do we do when we have come to that place to know that we want to have that relationship with God?" He said, "Repent and be baptized." Those two words are so important to your relationship with God. Repent means to turn around and go toward God. Turn around from anything that displeases God. Turn toward God and go toward Him and be baptized. It's a part of the journey. It's a part of responsiveness before the Holy Spirit of God and what He calls you and the church to be. If you have your Bibles, I want to read from one of the stories of baptism in Acts chapter 8. If you want to follow along, turn with me to Acts chapter 8. We're going to read part of this story, the story of Philip and the Ethiopian. And I want you just to hear this morning a few things about what this passage shows us about baptism. Each one of the baptism passages in Acts tells us something about baptism. I'm going to read part of this story. "Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, 'Go south to the road, the desert road, that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza.' So he started out, and on his way he met an Ethiopian eunuch, an important official in charge of all the treasury of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians. This man had gone to Jerusalem to worship, and on his way home was sitting in the chariot reading the book of Isaiah the prophet." Now go down to verse 34 for time's sake. "The eunuch asked Philip, 'Tell me please, who is the prophet talking about, himself or someone else?' Then Philip began with that very passage of Scripture and told him the good news about Jesus." So here was this man. He was hungry for something. He knew there was truth. There's this Ethiopian, a high official on the road, having heard something about God. He had been reading the Old Testament Scriptures. He probably had heard about Jesus, but he didn't know who Jesus was. And he certainly didn't know how this Old Testament Scripture tied into the identity of Jesus. For this Ethiopian, he may have thought, "Well, this is a real chance meeting. How could I possibly expect on this day, on this desert road, near Gaza, how could God speak to me?" And yet God had a plan. Yet God sent a man named Philip. Actually, a man named Philip who probably left Jerusalem because of the persecution, and he went south. Other believers went west and went north and went all over the Roman world, basically. But Philip went south. He's on the road south, and God brought them two together. This man was feeling a tug on his heart about truth. This man was feeling what some people call conviction. Well, talk about the word conviction for a minute this morning. There's a lot of ways you can describe it, but conviction is basically that Holy Spirit that's speaking to you about truth. Sometimes it's to reveal something to you that you haven't felt before, you haven't understood in your mind, or you haven't perceived in your heart. Sometimes the Holy Spirit convicts you by pointing His finger on something in your life that you know is wrong, by your conscience. He touches your conscience. Or says, you know, this isn't right. And you know it in your heart. That's the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit God sent to speak to hearts and lives in our world, in our day, in our generation. And so when God is speaking to you through His Holy Spirit, He may speak to you about any number of things in your life. Conviction is kind of that general categorical word that some people use to describe that sense that God's dealing with me about something. Listen to conviction in your life. Listen to the Holy Spirit. You know, when you are listening and you're responding, when God says something to you, then the desire of your heart is to respond to it and do what God calls you to. When you hear truth, God will use His Holy Spirit to speak to your heart and speak to your life and draw you to that truth. This man was listening. This man had an open heart. He was hungry. This man was going down the road reading the book of Isaiah, looking at it, stopping, reading, hearing. He was seeking. He was seeking God with all of his heart. He wanted to do what's right. This man wanted in his heart to do what's right. He was looking out there for truth and looking out. I wonder today if we are wanting to do what's right in God's eyes. Hear the word of the Lord about baptism. Hear the word of the Lord about the journey. Wanting to do what God calls him to do. And I know God was speaking to him. God was saying something in him. He was stirring him up. He was feeling that draw, that pull to respond to the heart of God. You know, when you have a heart that is listening to the Holy Spirit, I can promise you God will speak to you. When you have a heart that's open, God will speak to you. The Bible says, "He who cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out." That means that when you say, "God, I really want to hear you. I really want you to show me. I want to get off this track I'm on. Or I want to be on a track that I know honors you." I can promise you God will speak to you. And God sent Philip to this man. Don't overlook that. Here's this Ethiopian in the desert, alone. But God found him. The truth is, if your heart is open to what is right and true, God will find you. God will show you. God will draw you with His love and with His truth. And this precious Ethiopian man, when God drew him and God showed him and God provided Philip in his life, he responded to God. What a beautiful picture. Not taking time to look at everything in this story, but you see how he responded. The eunuch asked Philip, "Tell me, please, who is this prophet talking about? Himself or someone else?" Let me read this again. Then Philip began with that very passage of Scripture and told him the good news about Jesus. And oh, within this man named, or this unnamed man, the eunuch from Ethiopia, within his heart, he began to respond to who Jesus was. Somewhere along the way, he made the choice and the decision, "I believe. I take God at His word. I'm going to say yes. I believe that about Jesus. I believe that He died for my sins. I believe that God loves me. I believe that He offers forgiveness through His death on the cross. I believe that I can trust Him. I believe that I can become a Christian and I can walk with God." There is something about this man that shows the urgency of a man who responds to the voice of God. And then as they traveled along, look at verse 38 if you'd like to. As they traveled along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, "Look, here's water. Why shouldn't I be baptized?" And he gave orders to stop the chariot. Both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. I mean, this man must have heard enough to know that when you became a believer, you want to be baptized. When you make that choice and that decision, that's the next step. I mean, he just barely got in the chariot and down the road, and he sees a puddle of water. I don't know how much water he saw. It's pretty dry around Gaza, you know. But he started down the road, and there's a, I'll call it a puddle. It might have been, I don't know. He goes down the road, and he's looking for water. Why? Because his heart says, I want to respond to what God told me to do. I want to be responsive to the Spirit of God about my heart and my life and my journey and my decision and my steps. And he asks that question, it's so good. Well, why shouldn't I be baptized? You know, a lot of people ask me, who are Christians, who are believers, why should I get baptized? That's a great question. But you notice how he asked it, it's different. Why shouldn't I be baptized? Why not? Why wouldn't I want to be? Why wouldn't I want to take that step toward God? Why wouldn't I want to say, yes, I'm in? I mean, sometimes it can be, we're at that valley of decision and we're testing what we believe and is it really for us? I understand that. I went through that. 15 years old, I made the decision. I'm going to follow Jesus. I was baptized then, very soon after that. And that decision is so important in your life. Whether you're 6 years old or you're 90 years old, when you hear the call of God to repent and be saved, that's the time to respond and then to be baptized. Some of you have heard about baptism for a long time, or maybe you've heard some about it and you're thinking about it. I want to encourage you today, if you've made the choice to walk with Jesus, repent and be baptized. And maybe you repent a long time ago and you're feeling and you're hearing more about baptism. I want to encourage you today to respond to God and say, God, I do want to be baptized. I want to say, I want to be baptized. Baptism is a personal decision. It's not a decision for anybody to make for you. In fact, some people say, why don't you talk to people more about baptism? And I say, you know, I really like them to come to me about baptism. I like to preach about it or teach about it, but then it's up to them to come and talk to me about baptism because it is a personal decision. It's not a decision for somebody to make for you, a parent, a brother, a wife, a spouse, a friend. Baptism is a personal decision between you and God. It is a part of the journey. Some people call it believer's baptism. We had a beautiful baby dedication today, and we just believe that the faith of the parent is being, parents are being expressed in the family, their desire for that beautiful Isabel to grow up to live the Christian life. But Isabel will have to make her own decision when she gets old enough. Life will be a series of decisions about her responsiveness to God, and it is for you too. You're much older than Isabel, but every one of you are on that track of making decisions about your relationship with God. And you must make that decision for yourself. It is a important decision. It is a personal decision. It's also a promise that you make to God that you will live a Christian life. What are you saying when you're baptized? One thing you're saying is, I promise to live the Christian life as best I can before God. I promise to listen. I promise to seek God's voice in my life. I promise to say, God, if you have something to say to me about my life, you're in my life. You're in charge. Baptism is that step, is that stage, is that time when you make a public promise about your relationship to God. It's an outward sign, some people call it. A seminary professor wrote a book, Outward Signs of the Inward Heart. And I love that book. It was about baptism. It was also about communion and other sacraments of the church. It's an outward sign. People see it. It's a visible sign. See, I can't see exactly what's in your heart. I can kind of think I know based on your words and your character and how you conduct yourself. And some people you think, boy, I know they love God just because they live that way. But honestly, nobody can see each other's heart but God. But what we can see is when you take that profession of faith and you say to the community and to God, I am going in front of the community and saying, I'm going to walk with Jesus the rest of my life. It's an outward sign. It's a choice that you make that demonstrates the choice you've already made in your heart. It comes after you've made that choice and decision in your heart to be a Christian. It's an outward sign. It's a beautiful sign. It's also a turning toward God. I mentioned this word earlier, a turning or a repentance. It's saying, I'm turning my life toward God. not away from God. It might mean for you, I'm turning my life toward listening to what God says instead of maybe listening to what the world says about truth, about morality, about purpose, about the Bible. I'm going to turn toward God and say, God, I want to follow you. I want to be what you want me to be. It's a turning toward him. Baptism also is what God does. It's not just what we do. Baptism is also what God does. The New Testament talks about the sealing of the Spirit of God of baptism. How precious it is that when you're baptized and you've come before him with a heart that's right before him, and you have asked him to take over your life, and he seals you. He marks you. There's something about the marking of God, and it's a mystery. The Holy Spirit of God. When you're saved, you receive the Holy Spirit of God. When you're baptized, there's some kind of marking that's a part of the identifying. That's the word that comes to my mind the most, the identification of you as being a child of God. See, baptism is a two-way relationship between you and God. It's not just your faith, but it's also God reaching down with his love and accepting you in that relationship. Baptism is the way to bring earth and heaven together. Or I should say earth and heaven together. Baptism is one way that God reaches down and he touches you and marks you. It's the beginning of a time. I am a child of God. It is special. It is important. I am a child of God. I am important to God. It's part of the journey. One last scripture this morning from Galatians chapter 3 says this: you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. Okay, you hear that? You're a child of God through your faith in Christ Jesus. For all of you who were baptized into Christ, here's the last point this morning: you have clothed yourselves with Christ. When you're baptized, it's like when you are sprinkled or you're poured, or what we usually do is immersion if possible. You go under that water. Symbolically, you say goodbye to myself. You say goodbye to my own demands that it's all about me and I'm going to make. And you say, I'm dying with Christ and I'm raising to new life in him. When you come up, it's like putting on the Lord Jesus Christ. It's special. It's deep. It's spiritual. It's a mystery. But baptism is that time of taking on the Lord Jesus Christ in a unique and a special way. It is so important. Last year, last summer, we had a baptism service, and I think I have a picture here to put up of that. I think I do. Yeah, here it is. I don't know if you probably can't see it that well, but we had, I think, 11 people that were baptized. You know, last year we had mostly adults, which is unique. Sometimes we have mostly young people, sometimes adults, somewhere in between. But we had Emma Jane, who's sitting right back here. Praise God, Emma Jane. Praise God. And others that you see there, a couple of four teens and some other people, they made the decision to say, I want to walk with Jesus and I want to be baptized. I want to encourage you today, if you're interested in being baptized, yeah, there you are over there. Just spotted you. If you want to be baptized, if you want to walk with God, if you want to take the step in that journey, please let me know that. We're having a baptism service 2 weeks from today at the park. At 6 o'clock, and we will celebrate baptism with those that feel called of God and willing and wanting to take that step of faith. I was so excited at kids' camp to hear the kids talking about baptism. There was a teaching on baptism, and there was a girl whose pastor was there and who both parents were there, and she lived in the area. So they called family, and they came to camp, and Saturday night at camp had a baptism service for that one girl. Boy, it was neat. And then some of our young people were asking questions about what does it mean? And what am I saying in baptism? I want to encourage you, if you're here today and that interests you, whether you're a part of that. We had some teens at teen camp a week and a half ago who made some decisions about their lives. If you want to be baptized, I want to encourage you to do that. And there may be others that are here today. You've never been baptized, but you do want to walk with Jesus. If you're interested in that, please let me know. Would you stand, please? Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for the incredible gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ and the privilege we have to hear it, to proclaim it, to respond to it. I thank you, God, for the gift and the call of baptism, and that it is a step of faith. It is a step of declaration. It's a step of saying, yes, I make the choice to live for Jesus. Lord God, I pray that the people of this church, from the very youngest, from our children, our teens, our young adults, our middle-agers, our senior adults, God, that every one of us would declare to be on the journey and to walk with Jesus and respond with you, I pray. I pray, God, that your will would be done in this place, in this community of believers, I pray. This morning, I'm also thinking about, God, a couple of other needs, and I want to mention to you Tracy Liddington and pray for her today. We know she's had tests this week, and they've not gone the way she has hoped they would, and I pray for Tracy today. I pray that we would lift her up, and God, may she feel your help and your guidance and your presence. Good to see Wayne Rank here today, God. I pray for him. I pray to God that you would touch him and give him strength for the day and bless him. I thank, Lord, of Marlene Sholley moving this week and just all the stress that has come with that and will go with that. And pray that you would bless her, God. Our family, our church family, our friends, you know what all the needs are, God. And today we express them to you. Thank you again for your presence in this place. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you for being here today. God bless each one of you.